Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah.
She was very gracious. I appreciate that, because she could have. You're right.
Probably, you know. Had some fun with you. That's right. Well, hey, why don't we get to it tonight? All right there, guys. And if we got some latecomers, that's good. But why don't we start with a word of prayer? Sound good? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for tonight. I thank you so much for each other. I thank you for this class. And what I pray as we utilize your word tonight to be able to glean some wisdom about the area of finances, God, that you would just enlighten us and grow us, God, in these areas, and just help us to honor you, Lord, with what you grant us and what you give us, Lord, we pray. Well, we do want to pray tonight. I know several are not able to be here just because of different issues, Lord. I know Bev was just super wrecked, going full fledged this whole day, and so I just pray for her. And Lord, I know Charlene right now is ministering to Svetlana's friend there with the cancer. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd grant wisdom and insight to her. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you'd just give us here tonight, Lord, a good night. And I just pray, God, that you would just open your word and open our hearts to what you have for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, there, everybody. Tonight, we are going to be doing a deep dive into the book of Proverbs tonight. The title is Utilizing Wisdom in Our Finances. And there is no greater book than the book of Proverbs, than dealing with this topic of wisdom. How would you guys define, first and foremost, the term wisdom? How do we define wisdom?
I kind of look at it as putting knowledge to work.
Right. Yeah. Putting knowledge to work. Yeah. Anyone else? Kind of what I had up on the screen. Wisdom is knowledge that's practically lived out. I mean, putting it, you know what I mean? And so it's, wisdom is taking that, you know, what we know and what we've learned and actually living it. That's what it is. And so tonight is going to be really, really, really practical. And so, you know, again, just really where the rubber meets the road in terms of the book of Proverbs. And I want us really through this class to see that God intends for us to utilize the wisdom that we glean in terms of finances with what he gives us. Which again, he's promised to give us. He's promised to give us, you know, obviously take care of us financially as we've looked at, but he's also promised to give us wisdom, to grant us wisdom. You guys remember, I have it up on the screen right here, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously or liberally, as the old King James would say, to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. And he won't withhold that from us. And so so that's where we have to go in regard to this area of wisdom. Go to his word, because praise God, he's given that to us. And so tonight, first and foremost, our first point that I want us to look at is that in order to glean wisdom, besides going to the word of God, we need to humbly seek advice from those who have proven to have this particular kind of wisdom with monies and finances. And so just a few scriptures. I'm going to give, since we got, you know, just a few of us, I'm going to have Randy, if you would, Proverbs 11, 14. Brother Carl, would you mind looking up one for us and reading Proverbs 12, 15? Mary, you'll do 13, 18. Timmy, 15, 22, and I'm sorry, Josh, I'm cutting you out. I'm sorry, I'll have another one for you later, though. And then Steve, your last one there, Proverbs 19, verse 20. So we'll start with Randy, and we'll just go around.
Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead there, Carl.
The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Go ahead there, Mary.
Good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin.
Is that Proverbs 13:18?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I have the wrong one?
I'm sorry. Yeah, no.
Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction.
And then is there a little bit more to that one? But he who, or maybe you have a different. Ah, okay, all right. Yeah, I know. If there was a little bit more, yeah, because maybe I got the wrong reference there. Go ahead, Timmy.
Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed.
Amen. Go ahead there, Steve.
Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future.
Right. And so what's the common theme among all of those verses?
Listen to people who know.
Listen to people who know. That's how we gain wisdom, right? You gain wisdom through a multitude of counselors, right? An abundance of counselors, their safety. A wise man listens to advice. He's not wise in his own eyes. He's wise through the eyes of others, right? Poverty and shame come to him who disdain correction, but he who regards rebuke will be honored. We'll talk about that one in a second. The idea of regarding a rebuke, actually taking pleasure in being rebuked for something that we're doing wrong. Without counsel, plans fail. Many advisors, you know, many multitude of counselors. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. So again, the Bible is very, very clear that if the believer wishes to utilize wisdom with their money, they need to be willing to seek that advice and wisdom. And in order to do that, what does it take? It's the big H word. Well, help, but I know you need help. Yeah, divine help, that's for sure, right? Yeah. The big H word, what is it? What do we need? Humility, right? We need humility. It takes humility. Asking for help with anything is often a very, very hard thing for people. I know it is oftentimes for me, but especially when it comes to money, it's a very, very hard, sometimes, you know, something that we try to keep, you know, close to our chest. And why is that? Why is it so hard to seek advice in regard to this area of finance?
Because you have to be vulnerable.
You have to be vulnerable, right? Right? And vulnerability can lead us to you know, unpleasant feelings. I think sometimes we can feel a little bit embarrassed sometimes, maybe if we've made some mistakes in the past, or maybe we kind of we kind of fear being humbled by maybe a rebuke, somebody telling us that we're doing something wrong. And so we need humility. I mean, that's one of the biggest traits that Christians need to have, in just in general, for anything in the spiritual walk, but especially in this area of money. We need humility in order, as the proverb said, to be rebuked, corrected, if we want to do better with our monies. Because when it comes to monies, a lot of pride can seep in real quick, especially if we're told that we're doing something wrong. Because I think just in general, not just fear of vulnerability, but I think just as Americans, we're not built that way, okay? When it comes to money, as Americans, we don't like to be told what to do with our money. We wanna spend it on whatever we want, whenever we want, and nobody's going to tell me what to do twice, right? And amen to that in an American perspective, because as an American, yeah, I sympathize with that. But again, what ultimately leads me? Not my patriotism, it's my Christianity, it's my Christian walk, the Bible. And so from a Christian perspective, we're called on to honor God first by being wise with our money. And the only way that we can attain true wisdom, according to the Bible, according to these verses, is by seeking advice from others who already have that wisdom, in this case with monies. And so I just want to say this up front with some of the stuff that I'm going to talk about tonight, that I'm not a financial counselor. I tell this to people when they come to me and they talk to me and they say, Pastor, I have money problems or I have issues. I'm not a financial, I'm just a pastor, okay? All I can do is open up the scriptures and I study them and I give you what the Bible has to say about money. So don't come to me in regard to financial planning, your 401ks, or talk about investments, or how to do your taxes. Don't have me do your taxes, okay? No. Have Chrissy do it, or somebody who knows what they're doing. But that's kind of the point. There are those that God sometimes providentially brings in our lives in the church, or even seeking that wisdom in the world, who you can go to seek specific advice in those areas. And it does take humility to be able to do that, to be able to say, listen, I need help, I need guidance, I need direction in this area. My personal life, what I've done is I do have a financial counselor. His name is Aaron Cole. You guys remember George Cole, the interim pastor who was here? His son is a financial counselor. And so when I was here, because my one thing that they don't tell you in seminary is that pastors' salaries get really weird in terms of just what they, you know, I mean, it's not just your salary, but a lot of other odds and ends things and taxes and stuff like that. And so when Pastor George told me that his son did this kind of thing, I was like, yeah, sign me up, because again, he already knows his father's finances and all of that stuff, so it really fit me really good. And so he deals with my retirement account, he deals with life insurance, Sarah's got some little investments that she does, and so he's really, really helpful in that regard. And you know, in regard to hey, there he is, how you doing there, Dan? In regard to investments, just real quick, in case that kind of perked your interest, there's nothing wrong with investing your money. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 2 says, invest in seven ventures, yes, in eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. So making an investment, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But again, so just in my personal life, that's what I did. I sought advice from somebody else because I don't know what I'm doing with my money. Now, a couple things that we're going to be doing in regard to this, because like I said, I'm not a financial counselor in that regard. I'm already planning already, like I've said right along, about doing and offering the Dave Ramsey class soon, so that might be a good place for you to start in regard to seeking some advice, and even those of us who might have that wisdom, again, gleaning more wisdom in terms of a multitude of counselors. You have this Christian man who is well known for being able to help people in regard to their finances. It might be worth your time to be able to sign up for that class. So I really encourage you to do that. We're not going to do it on a Wednesday night. We're going to do it another night. But I'll get you more information. Hopefully, I'm going to have that kind of semi-set by the end of this class to at least give you some dates. But the point is that seeking advice in this area of finances from people who know what they're talking about, know what they're doing, is the greatest way in which to seek wisdom in your finances, in if you're going to succeed. Any thoughts on that? I know it's pretty straightforward. I mean, anything that you want to share, any piece of advice that you might have that you've learned in terms of being wise and seeking wisdom in terms of money that you might want to share? So maybe a story, something along those lines. Anything you guys got? Point is like I said, that very, very first bit of wisdom that the Bible gives us in regard to monies is recognizing when we don't have wisdom, when we don't know what we're doing, and being able to humbly recognize, listen, I need help, and I need to seek that counsel in the best way possible. And so, go ahead there, bro.
Perspective being in the industry a little bit,
yeah.
Two different ways that financial advisors get paid, and you kind of want to know that before you start dealing with them. One is the type of person that you pay to kind of also retain. So you subscribe to their support, and then there's the other person that doesn't charge you anything.
Right.
They get paid when they sell you a product, but they get paid from the company that you buy the product from.
Right.
So, in general, it's usually tempting to go with the latter option because you don't feel like you're paying anything.
Sure.
But they're not always, legally they're required to, represent you as a fiduciary and those types of things, but it's not as well aligned to your personal interests as the other option, where the only thing they get out of you is
what you pay them.
So, just from a perspective of what kind of advice you get, one is incentivized to sell you a product, regardless of whether they need it, and the other one is incentivized
to give
you the right advice, even if it is do nothing. Right. So that's just my point of view, and you need to balance that with how much do you really need to, how much money do you have to invest, and is it worth the expense of having somebody
helping you with it?
That's, there's a certain point in which really all you need to be thinking about is saving, and
we can get into that,
if it's just in a savings account or, by and large, a lot of mutual fund investments and things like that that are get a pretty solid, with the big names, Vanguard, places like that.
Sure.
You can get very stable returns on stuff like that without having to talk to really anybody, just use some common sense.
And, right.
So that's just my point of view is it's easy to, end up in the wrong place. Not that terrible things happen, but it's just...
Right.
I don't know what you're getting.
Well, see, this is where,
how people, benefit from the relationship.
Yeah, right. Go ahead there, Randy. Yeah.
I totally agree that we should invest in all that, and I'm not against that at all. But we also need to be careful to make sure that that's not our security.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. Yeah.
Be very careful about that. I'll never forget, back in the 90s when Pastor Bill was here, on a Sunday night we had a speaker. He was a Russian guy.
Mm.
And he had, his retirement was all set. He had enough money to last him a lifetime.
Yeah.
And then Russia's economy tanked and he didn't have anything.
Oh, yeah.
He had nothing.
Right, right.
Okay. And that can happen at any point in time to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Our security isn't with our bank account.
No.
Our security is with Jesus.
Amen. Christ. Amen.
We need to be careful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's always the backdrop to everything that we're talking about tonight.
And no
because
what you're talking about, that applies. In the sense that there isn't a financial strategy that gets you away from that.
Right. The risk, you know.
Everything
they provide. Right. Right. No, but I absolutely. I mean, I agree. And by the way, I mean, this is where wisdom in a multitude of counselors is really applicable, because, and where having a good church family is really important as well, because again, you have folks who, you know, I mean, Dan knows what he's talking about with this, and there's others in our church who do as well. And so this is where humbling ourselves and being like, hey, listen, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to go talk to Dan. I'm going to go talk to Chrissy. I'm going to go talk with, you know, somebody, you know what I mean, about this. And matter of fact, I got Chrissy helping me with some of my tax stuff this year. So, because again, it gets weird when you're a pastor. And so, seek counsel and seek counsel on who you seek counsel from in this case. And so, you know, absolutely. So multitude of counselors, that's what it's all about. But moving on, the next step, or not the next step, but the next point that I wanted to make here is just very practical in terms of wisdom. It's budgeting your money. Okay. And this is a biblical concept. We looked at this passage, a couple times during our study. Here is Luke, chapter 14, 28 to 30, Jesus speaking here. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Again, context of that is not financial. The context of that is counting the cost of following Jesus Christ, taking up your cross and following him. But the analogy here is just simple wisdom that Jesus is using, because it just makes sense what he's talking about. Clearly, in the analogy that he's using here, sitting down and counting the cost or assessing how much money you have is wise according to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that any, you know, financial counselor, anybody that's worth their salt is going to tell you that. They're going to set you down and say, let's budget your money. Let's find out what you got and let's figure out what we're working with here. And so budgeting very clearly is a biblical and very wise concept in God's eyes, in other words. It's wise and biblical to sit down with pen and paper or your computer, gather all your pay stubs, your calculator, you know, whatever, you know what I mean, whatever, and come up with a game plan wherein you can be the most successful and prosperous financially. And again, going back to the previous point, if you don't feel adequate in doing this, you need to seek help from somebody who can help you with it, who might have more of the tools to be able to put everything into perspective. You know, I'm kind of a graphics kind of guy, and so pie charts and all of these kind of things are very helpful to me to be able to see and to be able to compare and contrast, and that's just kind of the visual kind of learner that I am. But either way, you're basically asking, you know, what are some of the basics to developing a budget? You know, how exactly do you develop a budget? And a lot of it is just common sense stuff, which Scripture is full of, which is why we're going to it tonight, okay? First and foremost, you develop a budget by carefully assessing all that you have. Just like I said, who's got Proverbs 24:27 for me? Proverbs 24:27. Again, not specifically dealing with finances here, but the wisdom is there nonetheless. Whoever's got it, read it.
Prepare your work outside. Get everything ready for yourself in the field. And after that, build your house.
Right. So preparation, and then you build, right? Preparation, then you move on, all right? So the idea of assessment, the idea of preparation, budgeting, in other words, is what God regards as wise and honoring to him. And now, a couple different things. That might seem a tad bit, even the concept of being wise with our money, budgeting, and, you know, saving some of these things that we're going to talk about tonight, it might seem contradictory from our previous lessons. And we kind of already touched on it a little bit, maybe even from what I preached on this past Sunday. It might seem as if to budget or to plan financially contradicts maybe reliance upon God, right? I mean, and why is that? Why would it? I mean, because I was just thinking about it this week. It's like, well, in one sense, we're telling people trust God with your money, just give it all to Him, and you know, trust Him. But at the same time, finance, you know what I mean? You know, you got to check out on your finances and budget. Why does that sometimes seem contradictory? Or does it? Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't find it contradictory because all throughout God's word He tells us to do this.
Right.
He tells us, okay? I find it, you talk about contentment. I'm content when I know my bills are going to be paid.
Yeah.
Okay,
if my budget financial piece.
My income, and I'm not going to be content if I owe a lot of money.
Right, right.
Okay? So I think budgeting, I mean, contentment is a result of...
Yeah, God utilizes wisdom in budgeting in order to bring contentment. And, yeah, go ahead there, brother. Yeah.
You have trusting and obeying, and they're two sides of the same thing. Yeah. Obeying means you have to do something.
Right.
It doesn't mean just, you know, that you can not worry about anything.
Right.
Because we trust God. We do trust God, but we trust Him when we're obeying.
Right.
Us to be responsible.
Yep, He does. God utilizes means in order to bring that about His ends. Go ahead there, Lauren. Yeah.
It would seem contradictory if you were to the extreme where you're in error on either one of them. So you could say, I'm trusting, and then throwing all of the...
throwing caution to the wind. Right, right.
And that would be sin because then you're being presumptuous.
Right.
You could say, well, I'm going to plan and budget and then rely on your planning and budgeting.
Right.
You could fall into error on either side, and if you're too far away from holding both of those, then...
Exactly. And that's exactly where I'm going. I mean, I just put up their common objections to precise budgeting. Don't you trust God? You know what I mean? You can't know what's going to happen tomorrow, so why bother planning? Just trust God. You know, these kind of things that come up. And again, and just like you say, while it's true, it is true, ultimately, that God's going to provide for us. He's ultimately going to take care of us. And while, yes, we shouldn't be worrisome and anxious about our money, certainly not. God is the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's going to take care of us. But like you said, Randy, God oftentimes brings that financial peace from the anxiety of our monies through very practical means, okay? In this case, by being wise with our money, by budgeting and wise spending. Again, it only makes sense that God would take away our anxiety about money if... utilizing wisdom, okay, if we utilize wisdom that He tells us to do. If we do what God, funny enough, if we do what God tells us to do, He brings us peace, right? I mean, how does that work, right? I mean, it's...
To sometimes put those two together.
Right.
But I don't think God ever intended us to separate, you know, faith and faith being a catalyst for obedience.
Exactly.
And that obedience being reinforcing to our faith. You know,
well, it's also kind of like, you know, I you know, you guys know me well enough to know now, but you know, I oftentimes one area of discussion I get into people. That I like to get into with people anyways sometimes is the area of the discussion of God's sovereignty over salvation, right? If God chooses for salvation, right, it's like, why share the gospel? If God already has everybody chosen, then why share the gospel? Well, that neglects one very important thing. The means by which God brings His people to Himself is by us sharing the gospel, okay? God doesn't do it any other way, all right? We need to get out and share the gospel, okay? Yeah.
Being a direct command.
Right, and a direct command. Obedience. Right.
Not to.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, granted, there are those solitarious moments where there's miraculous things that come and God intervenes. And I would say that there are those times in our financial walk where you really don't know how you're gonna get by and all of a sudden it's like boom, God provides for you. I don't deny that. If you've lived life long enough, I mean, God is gonna do it at least once or twice for you, yeah. Exactly.
You've got those that say God will provide, so I plan a vacation to get there. God will provide me a way home.
Right. There you go. There you go. You know. And no, but
I know people that do that.
But we were just
talking about this from a medical perspective last night. It's, you know, especially for speak on her behalf a little bit. Lauren, having a medical background, sometimes feels obligated to know all the right answers, and it's like, well, so there are things outside of our control, outside of our knowledge, and we do know stuff, and so we're called. We have to be
a
steward of the information we have in terms of which doctors do you go to. Do you maybe, you know, look into this because maybe you don't trust the doctors giving you good. But at this, at the end of the day, we have to just trust God.
That's right. You got to trust him that he's going to take care, and he utilizes those means. I mean, he certainly does. And in the case of our monies, he utilizes wisdom. He utilizes budgeting. He utilizes savings. He utilizes all these things from the scripture in order to bring us peace, in order to provide for us. Right, and we're gonna talk about that next week. I know you're putting the cart ahead of the horse, but yeah, we're gonna get into that, right? And so I mean, biblically speaking, it is very, very advantageous for us. It's the means by which God brings us that financial peace to sit down, as Jesus said, analyze all that you have, and then come up with a plan in order to take care of the things that God needs you to take care of. Okay, that God wants you to prioritize. And again, if you don't feel adequate doing it yourself, seek somebody else to help you. You know what I mean? Go and talk to somebody. Say, listen, I just don't know what I'm doing. Let's sit down and let's go through this. You know what I mean? And I'm sure people will help you in the church. And then there's and in other places. I mean, developing a budget, again, is going to be the first thing that I'm sure that they're going to do with you. But you were going to say something else, Dan?
I was just going to share, you know, not on the finances side, but the, the time when I went through all the medical troubles a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Some of the pieces, but not all the pieces, and it was enough to make her frustrated. But also enough for her to know kind of some places to look. But ultimately, in retrospect, it was really God that, you know, like, clearly we did not pull that off.
Yeah, because of God's intervention.
It was very useful, but it was only because she used what God gave her.
Right.
A lot of it was just God bringing it all together.
Amen. And that's ultimately where, again, like you brought up, I mean, the old hymn, trust and obey. That's really what it is. Trust God ultimately, but also obey him in regard to this area of finance and or anything else for that matter. You know what I mean? Health-wise, you know, spiritually speaking, anything. A lot of very, very, very important things. So next point, though, you develop a budget by taking your assessment of your finances, making a financial plan, setting priorities, and then sticking to that budget. I put it up on the screen. We've already looked at this previous classes, but Proverbs 6:6-8, go to the ant, you sluggard. Observe its ways and become wise. Without leader, administrator, or ruler, it prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food during the harvest. And so again, going back to that example of the ant, okay, you'll notice that the one thing that the ant does, besides not being lazy, we kind of focused on that in the work, the one where we talked about work. The one thing that the ant does is what? Prepares, right? He prepares. That's what he does. That little ant, that little mindless, I don't know if they have a mind or whatever, but little bug with no real brain, smart enough to know that winter is coming. And thus it needs to prepare during the summer for the harvest, so that it can survive in the future. Go ahead, brother. Yeah.
Because I'm interviewing a lot of people and I'm not seeing this particular skill in a lot of people I'm talking to.
Yeah.
The thing that jumps out to me there is the fact that it's encouraging initiative, right?
That's a great point. Yeah.
Tell you to do something that you could otherwise know.
Right. Right, I mean, but that's the thing, is initiative on something that just makes sense. I mean, you know what I mean, preparing. I mean, assess, you know, I mean, and I talk about, you know, assessment. The ant first assesses what they have, all right? They have a plan, and in other words, they go out and they get the food. They set the priority, and what's the priority? Well, for the ant, it's survive the winter, right? It's to survive as a colony, whatever. They're prepared for the future no matter what comes. And so the application is, really, if a stupid little ant can do it, so can we. I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, but if a dumb little ant can do this, that's the point of the proverb. It's like, you know, and so.
Discrimination.
I know. It's like discriminating against them ants. That's right. What's that? I know, those are fire ants. I know, I was trying to, I liked how they kind of blended in with the, this is my painter coming out, the green and the red. But anyway, the that's why I picked fire ants. But anyway, but so stupid, such a stupid thing. But anyway, the you know, so first, in order to prepare like the ant, as we said earlier, like I said, we need to carefully assess what we have, and then from that assessment of the monies, come up with the best plan that will work for our individual situation. Again, this is a very, very godly thing to do. It's a biblical and wise thing, which God uses in his sovereignty to provide for us and free us from that anxiety of finances. Somebody got for me Proverbs 21:5. I got a couple verses. Somebody got, who's got that one? Proverbs 21, verse 5. You got that, Dan? And then somebody else, Josh. Since you didn't get one before, I'm going to give you Proverbs 24, verse 3, all right?
The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty.
Right. The diligent leading to abundance, right? Go ahead there, Josh.
By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. And I'm going to read verse 4.
Yeah, go ahead.
By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches.
Right.
Through knowledge.
Right. He utilizes our plans, our knowledge, our wisdom in regard to budgeting in his sovereign will, okay? And so practically, you need to ask, if God utilizes our plans, what exactly does the plan look like? Well, again, I'm not going to be able to give you a plan from the scriptures, okay? It really depends on a lot of factors, right? Again, everybody's financial situation is different. So you can't just have a one-size-fits-all. And so that's where that assessment process that we talked about before is very, very important. Very, very important to developing a budget. Because again, maybe you're not making enough money and you need to seek different employment or more employment, okay? Maybe you're retired or you're disabled or something like that, and you need to think about alternative forms of income, right? Maybe you're overspending in an area, right? Whether intentionally or unintentionally. One of the things that is a good idea for you to do is to look at your bills, okay? Look at them every single month and ask questions about them, okay? A lot of times, you know what I mean, like you get into this auto pay thing or whatever and you're never looking at your bills or whatever. That's not a wise move on your part. You should be looking at your bills and get on the phone with those who are billing you, especially, again, if you don't understand why a bill is so high or whatever. I know it takes time, it takes energy, but again, this is how you save money and this is how you kind of understand what's going on. Okay, you know, you get on the phone with your insurance company or your electric company or your water company, see why the bill is so high. Maybe you need to make some changes, right? Maybe, you know, even today, you know what I found out, Randy? I was on Eversource's, you know, I was on Eversource's supply. You know that? And which was 25 cents per kilowatt. I just found that out today, and I thought that I was on a cheaper one, and I wasn't. So I saved myself some money today, even doing that, so by just asking some questions. So that was good. You know what I mean? Stupid me. I thought I had changed it, but I didn't.
It's amazing to me, just in a very short period of time, how things have changed and how easy it is to get into trouble today versus 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Everything 50 years ago was cash or check.
Right.
Okay, seriously.
Right.
I mean, I was in college. You bought all your gas by cash.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And credit cards were very, very
fine. Oh, that's...
You paid by check.
Mm-hmm.
If you ordered something and you didn't send a check in advance, it came
right.
COD, cash on the
way. Right.
It was the credit card that they took.
Right.
You know, I mean, you couldn't... It was more difficult
right.
to get into real trouble
right.
back then than it is today.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, I mean, just the utilization, too, of... Because I mean, even again, I'm old enough to remember a time before debit card. Well,
yeah.
You know, before it was widespread with debit cards. I mean, you spend what cash it was in your pocket. That's what it was, and so you're absolutely right. We can definitely get into it, but again, you know, carefully assessing though. I mean, monitoring what I'm spending. I mean, that's a huge part of developing
where
a budget. Right.
It's harder today to assess where you are.
Exactly. Yeah.
Than it was 50 years ago.
Right. You know, because I mean, like, if you had the checkbook right there, if you were diligent with it, anyways, or if you had the cash in your pocket. But again, I mean, if you're staying on that and you're staying on, you know, and you're assessing what you're spending on, I mean, you know, maybe there's areas where you can cut in your budget, right? You know, maybe you find as you assess your budget, hey, look, I'm going out to eat way more than I should be.
Yeah.
You know, right?
While,
yeah.
While it's harder to spend money in some way.
Oh yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
It's
yeah.
Harder to spend money.
It wasn't harder to spend. It's just that you had to be more diligent about what you spent.
There's with online banking, you can now get you can download all of your
understood.
All
sure.
I'm not saying there are advantages. I'm not saying there are advantages.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying. So the offset is that you can now look at it and say, okay, let me look at what my bill has done over the last.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true. And there's programs that you can actually get too.
Yeah. Like you can get really sophisticated, but you could just start with export it from your bank and look at it and spreadsheet and say, what is this thing doing over a year or two? And is it oftentimes I've noticed, whoa, it went up in 3 months ago. I never noticed.
Noticed it. And now I gotta play with that. And so I mean, so while it is easier for us today to get, but there's also other things that make banking and all of these things and actually having access to our finances a lot easier today. Like I can literally go on my bank right now from my computer and be able to tell how much money is right in my account right now, and be able to and be able to see all of those things right in the moment and what I've spent. So yeah, I mean it's six in one, half dozen the other, but. But again, the point is to be doing that, okay? To keep a your finger on the pulse of your finances very, very closely. That's what the wise person does, okay? And then making assessments based upon that. Again, like you say, maybe you're going out to eat too much. Maybe you need to cut out your Netflix, which by the way is a bunch of trash anyways, which you should. You know what I mean? I was just gonna say. You know what I mean? Again, being able to assess needs versus wants, those kind of things. But again, regardless of what it is, assessing what you have and what you're spending your money on will help you to be able to develop that plan of how best to prepare, like the ant. But along with that, once you do have that budget, and Lord willing, you take the appropriate steps to be able to develop a budget, and you say, look, now I got it. This is exactly what I'm going to spend here, 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 and here, and this is how much I'm spending, this is how much I'm going to be saving, blah, 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 blah. You come up with a game plan. You need discipline. You got to stick to it. Who's got Proverbs 21:20? Real quick, Proverbs 21:20. And then somebody, while you're looking up that, look up for me Proverbs 25:28.
Precious treasures and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it.
But a foolish man devours it. Precious treasure and oil are in the wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it, right? And meaning that you use up everything that you have, meaning that you don't have discipline. One of the dangers, and this is something that I see oftentimes when I deal with folks who have financial problems, one of the dangers that people face when they start to apply this kind of wisdom, they're on the right track, they got the budget, is all of a sudden they start to feel the positive effects of budgeting, which is having more money, right? I mean, you have more money in your pocket. You have extra money. But then what often happens afterwards is that they, because of a lack of discipline, devour all the gains that were made on other things is what happens. Go ahead, brother. Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
Was Proverbs 13:11.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're going to that one. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, no, 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 no. It's okay. No, wait, yeah, read it. Yeah.
Whoever gathers little by little.
Yes.
Increase it.
Absolutely. No.
Against the wisdom of the world.
Yep, little by little. And we're going to go there. But again, it's like, again, it's one of those dangers is, again, you get a little bit ahead, and it's like, one step up, two steps back, right? It's like the guy who goes on a diet, he loses a few pounds, he starts to feel a little bit better, right? Kind of like me. And then all of a sudden you think that you can eat a case of Little Debbie's to yourself, right? You know what I mean? That's what happens. Don't do that, all right? Don't do that, all right? Once you have a budget that works for you, stick to it, and stick to it disciplined no matter what. Be disciplined. Who's got Proverbs 25:28? Who's got it? Go ahead there, Lauren.
A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without
walls. Right, and that can apply in a lot of areas than just finances, right? Yeah, the Little Debbie's, but in a lot of areas, right? So again, a man without self-control is like a city broken down. So if you can't control what you're spending, if you're constantly devouring it and not utilizing self-control, it can lead to ruin oftentimes. And so once you've gone through those steps and had that budget, stick to it as best you can. Discipline, which again leads to the most practical piece of advice that you can help yourself with financially, again, which is in terms of your budget, is developing a budget where you're spending less than what you earn and saving it, which is where we're going. And that's exactly what Brother Dan just quoted Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it, okay? And so saving little by little, okay? It doesn't have to be extraordinary amounts, you know what I mean, whatever, but little by little will naturally lead to increase, okay, in your finances, okay? Go ahead, brother, yeah.
The verse before that kind of applies to what we were kind of talking about before.
Yeah, go ahead. Read it. Yeah, go ahead.
It all goes together.
Yeah, go ahead.
By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely. Insolence. That's a word. I used that fairly recently in the last month. I was like, man, that's a word that we need to bring back into our vocabulary. Not to be whatever, but I mean, it is insolence. But anyway,
you know.
What's that?
Wanton.
Yeah. that's wanton, you know, but
wanton
insolence, you know, but again, little by little, when you naturally increase, and then before you know it, you'll have plenty, okay? And again, utilizing that weight analogy, again, it just makes sense that if you eat less, the more weight you're going to lose, right? That just makes sense. The less calories that you are taking in, the more weight you're going to lose. And so in the same way, and again, you don't lose weight overnight, and any time that you lose weight overnight, you're going to gain it back tenfold, all right? But yeah, go ahead, brother, yeah. Yes, that's true.
Most banks now will give you the ability to set up recurring.
Right, that's what we do.
Deductions
to
send money out to your savings account where you don't have to think about it. It just happens, and then you forget about it until it's already done, and it just adds a little bit.
Yeah, and before you know it, you look at your account, and you're like, ooh, you know.
Some will set up things where, you know, if you do a transaction, it will just increase the transaction a little bit, and move that over into savings, so it's only moving a couple dollars at a time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel as difficult.
Right.
But it adds up. Those things help.
It does, you know, and so, yeah, I mean, that's where that little by little and utilizing those tools in order to do that. And so with saving, of course, you have extra money in the bank in case unexpected bills come. You have extra money in the bank to be able to, if there's a need in the church, you help somebody else in need, whatever. I mean, you know, if you get old, you know, retirement, can't work anymore, the less you spend, the more that you can save. Now, I just, you know, again, acknowledging this, and we kind of touched on this last week, is that that's hard to do when costs go up, okay? And that's what we're dealing with right now. We really are. I mean, we talked about eggs, okay? Oil, electricity, all of these things have gone up and continue to go up, it seems. And so it becomes harder and harder to be able to spend less and to be able to save more when you're forced to be able to have to spend on basic needs, okay? I acknowledge that 100%. But again, that's where keeping your finger on the pulse of your finances, your bills, all of those things, and we're planning, along with discipline, prioritizing what is most important. It comes in really, really handy. And so, and when tough financial times come, it helps us to be able to prioritize and to be able to grow in our walk with the Lord. It really does. When oil goes up, you're forced to prioritize because why? You need oil, okay? You don't need cable TV. You don't, okay? You need the lights on. You don't need, that $10 Dunkin' Donuts drink every other day, right? You know what I mean? Like, you just, it helps you. I mean, so tougher financial times, they help to prioritize what is most important, and so it helps us to plan better, okay? It just makes sense. Now, again, just making this comment here, does spending less than what we earn, like I said before, does that mean necessarily being cheap, all right? And by cheap, okay, I mean kind of close-fisted, all right? You know, my grandfather used to call it having short arms and deep pockets, all right? That's what he used to call it, and, you know, penny-pinching, you know what I mean? That kind of thing, all right? Is that what I mean? No, not necessarily. That's not what I'm talking about, because on the contrary, we're going to get into this next week. Steve started going there. Christians are actually encouraged to splurge, okay, in the right ways, okay, in giving to others. And in giving to the church, we are encouraged, obviously, we've talked about it before, to give it all up if God requires that of us. I mean, everything for Jesus Christ. But practically, in the day-to-day things and what we're talking about here, when I talk about the difference between cheapness, it means don't just buy the cheapest things simply because they're less expensive, okay? Sometimes you do that. I'm guilty of that. You know what I mean? I'm the cheap one in our house, all right? And but you also need to be concerned with quality and things like that when you buy, because again, in terms of buying quality things will actually save you money in the long run. And so true wisdom, it dictates that you do your research, not just on your bills and all of these things, but on what you buy. So you buy the best things that you can afford that will benefit you for the longest amount of time. For instance, I use this kind of as an object lesson, my computer, right? You'll notice, what brand of computer is that? It's a Mac, right? Now, what do you know about Macs? They're kind of expensive, right? They're more expensive in general. And so I don't just get a Mac because I'm a Mac snob, although I've kind of turned into one lately. But they're a lot more expensive than your regular Microsoft computer. And so my natural inclination years ago was just to buy the cheapest computer that I could find, which I did for a very, very long time. But I found that because I use my computer every single day, I use it all the time for a lot of different things, for just my daily sermon prep, and just everything's on the computer today. And because I needed something simple that I could just open up and go, all right? And also because I tended to replace my computer almost every single year or two, okay? And that cost was adding up, okay? And you drop $300, $400 every year or every other year because the computer has a virus on it, or the computer is going super duper slow. It affects my productivity. It affects my work. It affects, it's a financial burden. And I inevitably had to go out and buy another one. So I did. I went and splurged a little bit and bought a Mac, and I've had the same MacBook for 6 years now, okay, going on. And it shows no signs of stopping or whatever. So initial cost up front, but it saved me a lot of money in the long run and a lot of hassle, okay, in a lot of ways, a lot of aggravation. So no, when I say, I just use that as an example. And again, I'm not being a Mac snob here, and I'm not endorsing Mac or whatever or anything like that. I'm just saying, I'm just using it as an analogy. So when I say spend less, I'm not talking about necessarily being cheap for cheap's sake, okay? I'm talking about being wise with your money and what you buy so that in the long run, you end up spending less, being able to save more, and thus honoring God as a result, okay? And so, along with that, we also need to strive in other ways to try and, get the best bang for our buck, so to speak. I would encourage you, look for deals, look for sales. See if they're truly sales, though. See if they're truly a deal or not. My father, not to pick on my dad or whatever, but he's not here, so I will. My dad is notorious for finding a good deal, but it's never really a good deal. Almost never. He's notorious about this with cars in particular, all right? I'm going to pick on him for a minute. He'll say, oh, yeah, there's this truck. It's, $800, but it's all the way in New Hampshire. You know what I mean? And you got to drive all the way up there and go get it. And then we don't check it out properly. And then, there's blown head gasket or something like that on it. And then it ends up becoming yet another lawn ornament in his house at Glastonbury, okay? I'm not picking on him. I can pick on him because he's not here. But anyway, so it wasn't a deal. It wasn't a deal, Dad. It wasn't. Please, you know what I mean? So really, if you're looking for a deal, make sure that it's a real deal and not, whatever. I remember when I was a kid, my dad's sister, my Aunt Carol, was like a second mom to me. She was a big couponer. She did coupons all the time. I remember as a kid distinctly, she had this little pink lunchbox she'd bring into the store with her. And she was one of those ladies. You didn't want to get behind her in the grocery line because she'd whip that thing open and she'd be looking for all of her coupons, right? And with nothing wrong with that, right? She would, because why? It was free money in her opinion, you know what I mean? I don't know, do they still do coupons? I mean, they used to have the big thing full of coupons that you could cut and... It's all electronic now and whatnot. Yeah, I know. Sometimes they send it to me on the email and whatnot, and you can hold your phone up and they'll ding it at the thing or whatever, But my grandmother, even before that, she would do nickel cans. You know what I mean? I mean, all those kind of things. You know what I mean? And again, there's other things that you can do to find deals and stuff like that to save money. Marketplace, online, buying used things. Again, making sure that it's a real deal. The point is spending less, utilizing your money in wise ways. One of the simplest ways that you can help your budget. And so... Again, that just takes effort and just takes energy and figuring those kind of things out. I know, really simple, practical stuff tonight, but any other thoughts on that?
We found it's good to prove to yourself you don't need stuff.
Yeah, that's a good...
even if you feel like you're being cheap, just to get in the habit of
doing
something.
Right.
Just so that you can get used to changing your lifestyle.
That's true.
Because otherwise, you just go back to the way you were
before. Right, right.
So if you're just a little bit ruthless about some stuff,
right?
That maybe you miss it, maybe some things you don't miss. Like for us, TV was
cut it out.
For me to get rid of. And we haven't missed it one bit. Other things that you do, and that are harder to keep out, but just developing that like muscle memory
and
doing without things.
That's really good advice too.
Quickly, you don't need as much as you think.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So it's a
challenge. No, absolutely, brother. Absolutely. Were you gonna say something, Randy, or oh, okay, yeah, go ahead there, Mary. Yeah, no. One last point tonight. Have integrity when it comes to money. Okay, Proverbs 15:6. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. Okay, and so our righteousness, very clearly from this, our righteousness and finances are very closely linked to our prosperity, okay? And so while wickedness or a lack of integrity in our finances will lead us to trouble, all right? And this goes to the fact that how we attain our finances, it matters, okay? And we talked about it a few weeks ago. We talked about hard work and why that's very important and how hard work honors God, because honest hard work is the primary way in which God has ordained the means by which we are to obtain what God gives us in his sovereignty. And so obviously, when we talk about obtaining things with integrity, if you're in the mob or if you are selling drugs or something like that, you know what I mean? Obviously, that would lack integrity, but I don't think we have that problem around here. You know what I mean? Maybe we do. I saw you laughing, Nomaly. No, Timmy's in the mob over there, you know what I mean? Him and Neil, but... Now we have to have a different conversation, but some ways that we can obtain money that would lack integrity would be, and you can see it on the little picture up there, would be things like gambling. Okay, gambling I think would definitely be one of those. And while the Bible doesn't explicitly condemn gambling, all right, and it doesn't, you're not going to find a verse that says thou shalt not go to the casino. You're not going to find that. It is never, ever seen as in a positive light in the scriptures, ever, 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 ever. Again, we looked at, Dan brought up before, Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. And then Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. And so I'm just going to tell you this, is that lotto, I don't know if, you know, whatever, I'm just saying it, lotto tickets, scratch tickets, going and playing the slot machines, going to the casinos, that is all, I would see that as wealth gained hastily. Yeah. Right, right, you know, and how many of those really are there, right, you know?
I watch every day, I watch one guy buy two or three tickets,
yeah,
and I watch him throw them away.
Right, right, you know?
You know? It's like he does his time scratching.
Yep.
And then you see him go in the trash. And if he does win, he goes back in. And
goes another one, yeah, you know.
Throws him away. It's like, yeah. You never won it.
That's right, you know. Were you going to say something, Randy? Yeah.
I was going to say, years ago, a friend of mine and our wives went out to dinner in the Stonington area. We stopped by. We were driving by Foxwoods at the time. The driver wasn't even paved.
Paved then, yeah, yeah.
How long ago it was. And he said, have you ever been in? I said, no. I said, let's stop and just walk through. I said, okay. So
okay.
They had, I couldn't believe it, they had a bank in there where you could actually literally walk into your house.
Okay, wow.
While they're giving you free drinks.
Wow.
And you're
wow.
How
wow.
dangerous is that? How
wow.
dangerous is that? It's
yeah.
ridiculous.
Well, the thing is this, and as I just put it there, is that, you know, because in reality, the only people getting rich from your gambling is those running the gambling. That's the only thing. I'm sorry. The casino leaders, the lottery officials, all of those things, they are the ones gaining from your gambling, all right? And so, and because most of the time you don't win, all right?
Well, they didn't build that place by people winning.
That's right. That's exactly it, you know? And so, again, the cost of your investment after you have bought all those scratchers or gone into the casino just doesn't equal the return. And so worse, oftentimes what ends up happening is that desire for more and more money through gambling and the rush that comes when you do win a little bit, it causes an addiction. I mean, how many times do you talk about and you see people with gambling addictions? I've dealt with people who had them. You know, my dad, you were talking about the guy with the scratchers. My dad, he worked with a guy named Dickie. And Dickie was with the town of Glastonbury for years. The guy was making close to $50 an hour. I mean, he was getting ready to retirement. Every week, Dickie would go, and he would go down to the bank, cash his entire paycheck, and then go to like two or three of the corner stores and buy them out of their scratchers, literally. I kid you not. And then he would sit there and he would scratch and scratch and scratch. He would win nothing. And he'd get paid again in 2 weeks and he'd go and do it again. And his life turned out exactly like you think it would be. The man was divorced. He was living in a one-bedroom apartment, barely getting by. Just horrendous. All because why? Because of this desire for more money, the lack of integrity, lack of wisdom, lack of discipline, all the things that we're talking about here, okay? And so just a piece of advice, wisdom from the scriptures, and just practically speaking, don't gamble. Don't gamble. Don't waste your money, okay? Just such a big waste of money. And the same goes for other areas that lack integrity. Get rich quick schemes, pyramid schemes. Don't get involved in any of those things. Again, we talked at the beginning about playing the stock market, all right? That can get real close to the line. Am I wrong in that, brother?
No, I think it's very quickly becomes that way.
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything necessarily wrong with investments, but again, when it borderlines goes overboard with it, yeah.
There's a difference between investing,
right,
and gambling, and a lot of times if you're the days of investing in a GE stock and just holding it for life, dividends and stuff, that's not the way people invest anymore.
Mm.
And so if that's the case, it really isn't a healthy investment. And
yeah.
So you can invest in a stock, a mutual fund or something like that.
Mm.
You're not going to have any get rich, quick realities there. You might have some good years and some, but you're going to have some
bad years, right?
But it's going to average out to something that's more reasonable. If you're investing in small, Tesla stock, you're probably doing it for the wrong.
Right. Well, it's like a couple years ago. I mean, like you read, especially during the Trump years. I mean, like you had GameStop. You remember that whole thing, and then Dogecoin, and all of these crazy things that people were investing their monies in, and then Bitcoin. Yeah. It's like borderline gambling, And so. Right.
So
absolutely. Yeah. All right, Josh, and then Timmy. Yeah, go ahead.
Proverbs 11:18: The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward.
Amen. That's a great one. That's a great one. Absolutely. Amen. It was along the side. Yeah.
Proverbs, you referenced 11 all throughout. Well, not all, because there's a lot of righteousness.
What was the reference again?
That was 11 verse 18.
11:18. All right. Yeah. No, I just want to write it down in my notes.
Back to Sunday and just contentedness.
Right.
And how, I don't know if it was then that you referenced the verse or last Wednesday.
Yeah.
When you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you.
Amen.
And I don't know, the righteousness and seeking after God seems to correlate
definitely
with contentedness.
Amen. Absolutely does. Absolutely does. Timmy.
Well, another thing is, I know everybody's not around my age, but the whole video game industry with loot boxes and everything has been becoming very, very dangerous.
What is that?
Basically, you spend money to these loot boxes that have skins or for weapons or for your characters and that sort of stuff. That's unattainable. It's just for video games.
This is on the video game that you pay for more.
Some of them are free, and they have the service where you can spend money for something that's unattainable for a video game.
Oh, so in order to get to the next level or whatever on the video game, you got to pay for it?
Change your character's outfit. That's it. It's unattainable. Here's the thing, though. One company made $3.8 billion off of it.
Yeah.
So that's...
That's a waste. I mean, not to be whatever. I mean, not to be whatever. But I. Yeah, a lot of that. I didn't even think about a lot of that digital stuff, man. You know what I mean? And yeah. And I'm sure it's not just video games. I'm sure a lot of the social media junk that's out there, and people buy. Yeah, I don't know. There's got to be other. Go ahead, there, brother.
When this was kind of brought up before about needs and wants and a thing to try and be aware of and examining what you have, what you need, is also what the world tells you you need.
That's a really good point too. Absolutely.
Anywhere you turn, anywhere you look at your phone, you drive it down the road, there's something that says you need this,
right?
On TV or,
yeah.
Oh, you need this new vacuum cleaner. You need this whatever.
Right.
And that goes for what Timmy mentioned.
Right.
And kids and, well, in there especially, they're like, oh, I need this.
I need it.
And it's such a bombardment.
Right. That's true.
With buying stuff, but other...
Yeah, you know, consumerism, and then just things that we try and say, that we convince ourselves that we do need that are really not needs,
and
you know,
so
right?
So that you have to actively go out of your way to avoid it, whereas before you kind of had to search that out.
That's true.
And it was like, oh yeah, I do.
Yeah.
But now it's just like.
Yeah, absolutely.
From every angle, they're coming at you.
Absolutely. No, that's a great point. It's like again assessing, not what are true needs versus what does the world tell me that I need? I mean, in reality, it was the passage, I believe it was 1 Timothy, where it talked about, you know, with what and what we are to be content. With food and raiment, right? With food and clothing, we're to be content. And so God's standard for what we need is very low.
with food and clothing.
I know, with my King James... Every so often, my King James terminology comes out, but that's about all I have for tonight. I mean, the answer to financial wisdom and financial success is hard work for your money, seeking help and advice and wisdom in how to utilize those monies, making a budget that works for you, sticking to that budget, and saving and reaping the rewards. That's as simple as it is, and that's what the scriptures deal with, and so. And if we stick to that, God will bless us. And so, questions or comments? Go ahead, brother. Yeah.
The last couple of years actually helped me a lot with my finances, especially now that I'm working at the house that I'm moving into, that my dad's fixing up. Like, it helped me a lot with budgeting and financing.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to asking help, I actually, luckily, I had my dad who owned a business for 40 years, so he helped me out with, like, budgeting and knowing how to spend money well. So a lot of the budgeting is like old school, like paper and pen, not like on an Excel spreadsheet.
Right.
It was actually very, very helpful to learn like how much I'm spending and how much like I need. Like I take a look at my bank account like every week, saying how much do I have and how much am I willing to spend this week.
Right.
So
it's simple, but it's learned. It's like developing those habits.
Right.
It's, you know, the muscle memory, like you said. I like that. I like that analogy.
Right, especially when I'm having plan to buying a property. Like, I need to know, like, how much I'm willing to spend.
Right.
How much I want to, you know, save up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, absolutely. But, no, good thoughts there. Any other thoughts, comments, questions?
Saving that, just put it aside so you don't feel the difference, you know, and just keep doing that more and more, and it starts adding up.
Yeah. You get the pay raise and ignore it, you know what I mean, kind of, rather than, you know what I mean, just throwing it in, you know what I mean, throwing it in your savings and that's it, you know, living off of less, you know, absolutely. Go ahead there, Josh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're doing one more? No, that's good. My Bible scholar over in the corner over here. That's good. I'm glad. That's what we want, brother. Amen.
11:24.
Yeah.
One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want.
Yeah. Amen.
That probably is not just monetarily giving or getting richer,
right,
but also spiritually.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. No, there are. And we're going to get into that concept of giving next week. Giving, tithing, we're going to look at that. What do you think? Is tithing biblical?
Yeah.
You're going to have to come back next week. The word tithing is biblical. I don't know. We'll come back next week. We're going to talk about that. And yeah.
You saying I should quit now?
Yeah. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. No. Nah, we're going to get into that, how it relates to the church. Because, again, a lot of these principles, that all I'm building up to something. Because again, a lot of these principles, they apply not just because I've spent a lot of time talking about us personally, but also they apply, obviously, to us collectively. We're a family as a church. And we all have a responsibility as a church family for the monies here. We really do. Every one of us. I was telling the membership class this past week, because we went over expectations for membership and these kind of things, and one of them is giving, and giving generously to the church and those kind of things. But I also talked about responsibility, because it's not just what you put in the plate, but you're also responsible for how it's spent. Because we are a Baptist church, we with a congregational polity, and so every one of us has, and I believe it's the wisest move, all of us have a say in how those monies are spent, okay? And obviously, with all of us together, Lord willing, being led by the Scriptures, we'll come to a consensus, and God will lead us scripturally to be able to develop a budget that is biblical and honors the Lord. But every one of us has a responsibility in that regard. So all these principles that we're talking about, they apply to us as a family too, all right? So it's not just us individually. So that's a good thing. But any other comments or questions?
It's just nice. I've noticed the last 4 weeks, maybe a little bit more now that we've been tithing again in church, that we've been growing in the positive and not losing money.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to see. Yeah, well, you know, like you say, it's, you know, I'm thankful for what God has been doing and what He's doing up and down for the life of our church. I think that because we also have to understand that you know, yeah, there's a negative in terms of our budget, but, and we'll talk about that in a couple weeks, but there's a negative in terms of our budget, but on the other end of the spectrum, God uses that. God uses that in the hearts and lives of His people. So it's not a matter of it's not a matter of failure, okay? It's not a matter of that the church is failing somehow just because we didn't meet budget. It might be that we're not budgeting the right way. It might be, you know, again, this is where assessment of not just our personal budget, but also our church budget is very, very important. And you all have a say and a responsibility in that as church members. So we'll get into that. We'll get into that soon. But no, good points. But any other thoughts? Well, amen. I'm going to say goodbye to those who will watch this later. Bye, everybody. I'm turning off the recording. All right. Very good.